look with me, please, Isaiah chapter 57. I want to read to you just three verses out of this chapter to begin with, actually four verses. But look at the first two verses and look at the last two verses. Isaiah 57. The righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. The merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the wrath to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. And look at the last two verses. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now look in verse number two again. He shall enter into peace. And then the last phrase says, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on peace or no peace. Heavenly Father, I ask now the Holy Ghost of God would speak to hearts. Our Father, it's not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit. And God, I want to thank you for the wonderful singing. Thank you for touching Joe Barry and Teresa and the choir. And God, the congregation of singing today. And God, I pray that God, you'd anoint me now with the power of the Holy Ghost. Our Father, I pray, God, that you'd speak to hearts directly. I pray, God, that you'd bring conviction. And I pray, God, that your people could know peace. And Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit of God would minister the hearts of those who may not know Christ. God, here in the radio audience and in the internet. God, these here gathered in the auditorium. And I pray, God, that the peace of God that passeth all understanding would be made available to those who, Lord, don't know Jesus this morning. I pray, God, that they'd come to know Christ and to know what real peace is. And God, we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful thing it is, a great treasure of this world. Not possessions and lands and valuables, but peace. Many people across the land today would give anything in the world for peace. I mean, there are countries, people who live in total horror of bombardment and attacks and terrorists. They'd give anything if they could live in a land where there was peace. Individuals now at home, listen to me on the radio, by means of internet, and in this building this morning, would give anything if they could find real peace in their heart. They've looked for it. They've tried to find it. But in this passage of Scripture, I notice a great parallel. Peace or no peace. Matter of fact, there's no middle ground. There's peace or there's no peace. Peace or no peace. What makes the difference in life, an individual that finds real peace? What makes a difference when somebody can come to the door of death and have a peace of God that passes all understanding? What is it that when calamity comes to Christian and to lost person alike, yet in the heart of the believer, there's peace? What is it that causes a person to be able to lay a loved one in the grave and still have a sense of peace in their heart? What makes that difference? What's going to be the difference when it comes time for you to cross the river? That you'll be able to say, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm a winner either way. I heard that song just this morning on the radio. I'm a winner either way. Whether I stay or whether I go, I'm a winner. What makes that difference? Peace or no peace? I want you to notice two or three things, and I'll not be so long this morning. But notice what it says in chapter 57 at the first few verses there. The righteous perish and no man layeth it to heart. Merciful men are taken out of the way and none considering that the righteous is taken from the evil to come. I want to tell you something. It's a blessing for a saint to leave here and go be with the Lord. Now, it's not a blessing for me and you if we have to stay behind. I understand that. But the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm telling you right now, heaven's not a bad place. Did you know that? I mean, listen, don't you feel bad for mom and daddy and for those who've gone on to the other side? They are enjoying things that you've not seen yet. And thank God for it. I'm glad for that. Heaven's a good place. I mean, here in this passage of Scripture, what a wonderful thing it is. Death for the believer is a promotion. And it's a blessing. Blessing for what they're going to see. Blessing for what they're going to experience. Blessing for who they'll fellowship with for all eternity. But it's also a blessing for what they leave behind. I'm telling you right now, I know some of you in here this morning whose bodies are racked with arthritic conditions. and you've taken medicine and you've gone to the doctor, and in the middle of the night while others are sleeping peacefully, you walk in the floor in total agony. But I'm telling you right now, if you know the Lord, there's coming a time that you can lay down and rest in the glory land. And in fact, you won't even get tired. You won't even have a pain. You know, no disease. When they were singing a while ago, and the choir was singing, well, listen, I what a blessing. And when Brother Joe Barry was singing about heaven a while ago, my mind went back to that dear old lady I've told you about before. Used to listen to us, Brother Timmy in Valdosta. She lived up in Georgia, further north of us somewhere. And she'd call and she'd leave a message on my aunt's machine after morning services. And boy, she'd just praise God, magnify Him, thank Him for all His goodness. And then around Thanksgiving, we were all sharing Thanksgiving testimonies on the radio. And that afternoon, after Thanksgiving, I walked over to the office and replayed her message. I knew it'd be there. And boy, listen, she had months and months and months called and praised God, magnified the Lord. But I didn't know much about her life, old lady. And then she began to tell about how good God had been to her. And she began to tell a testimony about how her husband died at a relatively young age and left her with two children. How that one of her daughters developed a very awful disease and died as a young girl. How that one was tragically killed in a car wreck. How she herself was diabetic and had lost both legs through amputation. And at that particular time was blind. And how she was praising God that she could pull herself out of the bed every morning and crawl around her bed and make her bed. And get in her wheelchair and make her way into the kitchen. They had everything laid out for her to where she could make her own breakfast and everything and take care of everything. And she said, she finished it up like this. And don't feel sorry for me that I don't have no legs. She said, first time most of you ever get to see me, I'll be down by the river of life, wiggling 10 toes in the river coming out from under the throne. Boy, listen, what a blessing it'll be when bodies that are mutilated now will be made whole again. And it says in this passage of scripture that those who die in the Lord, those who know Christ, not only because of what they're going to get, but because of what they leave behind. I get to thinking this sometime. When I get to thinking about some of the dear saints of God who've been faithful and served Him so much, and they get promoted. It says this passage of Scripture, none lay at heart, none considers that God's delivering them from the wrath to come. Whatever God's going to do in this world and judge America and judge this world, those who get to go to glory, listen, they're going to miss that. Now, I believe we're going to miss the tribulation period. But I'm telling you right now, across this world, there are Christians who every day worship at peril to their life. They're putting up with things that you and I don't have to put up with. They're suffering things we don't have to suffer just because they're Christian. And it's coming to America faster than you think. And He said, I'm going to shake everything that'll shake so that will not be shaken, will not shake. He's going to just shake it all out. And it'll end up with a real. Thank God for that. But what is it that gives peace? What's the difference? Here in this passage of Scripture, it talks about those who have peace. He said they'll have peace. Not going to go into all of it, but they're going to have peace. They rest in peace. Thank God for heaven. But thank God for the peace you can have down here that passes all understanding. You can have peace with God, but you can have the peace of God as well. Notice this passage of Scripture, what it says about the wicked. It said the wicked, there's no peace for them. No peace. And then in the verses following, that begin at verse 3 and following, He tells why they can't find peace. Why is it they find no peace? Well, let's look and see. He said, of these who are lost, He goes on and He talks about the fact that they worship idols. He says in verse 5, for instance, He said, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valley and the cliffs of the rocks. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort at these? Upon aloft in a high mountain hast thou set thy bed, even thy winnest. Wentest thou up to offer sacrifice behind the doors also, and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. Listen, He said, you know what you've done? He said, you've tried to substitute everything for me. They've worshiped everything but God everything but God. And they've made idols out of everything. Why, you say, well, Brother Billy, I don't have any peace. Let me ask you, what are you worshiping today? What do you worship? What you got your focus on? Are you worshiping the Lord? Are you worshiping Him and adoring Him? Or have you set up idols? I like what he said here. He said, you go in the house and you close the door. But isn't it something God sees behind closed doors? God sees some of you in here. You're a member of this church, but he sees what you do behind closed doors. That's why you don't have any real peace. Because he knows your heart. He knows whether you're really worshiping him or not. He knows whether you really give your life to him or not. And these folks right here are idol worshipers. They're idol worshipers. And they've turned to other idols. He says in verse number 9, look at it. He said, thou wentest to the king with ointment and did increase thy perfumes and did send thy messengers afar and did debase thyself even unto hell. You see, they've got a different king. I want to ask you this. Who's Lord of your life? Who's Lord? You can't have any peace as long as you're in control of your life. You're going to do your own thing. You won't have any peace. You're going to follow Satan. You're going to obey the devil. You're going to live a life where he controls you. You won't have any peace. Who's your king? Peace depends on who your king is, who your Lord is. If he's in control of everything, everything's all right. But as soon as you take control of it yourself, you're in a mess. You're in a mess. Who do you worship? That'll determine where your peace, if you have real peace or not. Who is your king? That'll determine where you have real peace or not. Notice something else in this passage of Scripture. God sees everything about them, and they've done that. But they go on, and he said, so far as they were concerned, thou art weary in the greatness of thy way. Yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid up thy heart? Have not I held my peace even in old, and thou fearest me? I declare thy righteousness and thy works, they shall not profit thee. Let me tell you something. What? Not only who are you worshiping, but who's your king? But how are you trying to establish your own righteousness? You will never find peace as long as you're trying to be right with God on your own. You're trying to do right. You say, well, Brother Bill, I can't get any peace. I'm trying to do right. I've quit this and I've started doing this. I've been doing this and been doing the other. There's only one way to find peace, and it's not in what you do. It's in what he's done. There's a peace of God. It's trusting him and looking to him. And listen, it's not based on what you do. I'm doing all these things to find peace. You can't find it. It's not what you're doing. It's what he's doing that makes the difference. He's the one makes the difference. Notice something else. Verse 11, it says this. And he said, of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me? He said, you're afraid of everybody in the world but God. And you've ordered your life that way. But how many, he wants to know, why have you not repented of your sin? There's no peace if you don't ever get that sin issue dealt with. God will not give, the Prince of Peace will not give peace to a person that's at war with him. And you'll never have peace in your heart until the sin issue is dealt with. And you've got to repent to do that. Will you turn to him? Why not repent? Notice what it says in verse number 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell on high in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Proud and arrogant, won't bow to God. Won't turn to him, won't acknowledge the fact that we need him. But he said, I'm near those that do, those that have a humble spirit, those that have a broken and contrite heart. He said, I'll come and mend that heart. And if your heart, they would not bow, they would not mend, therefore they have no peace. They have no peace. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, he says this, when thou criest, let the companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. Watch this. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. I'll tell you how you get peace. By trusting in the Lord. Who you worshiping today? Who is your king today? Are you trying to do your own righteousness? What about the sin question? Have you dealt with that sin in life and honestly before God and come before Him humbly with a broken heart and allow Him to forgive you and know that your sin's all gone? And do you trust Him with all of your heart? Do you trust Him with all of your heart? If you'll trust Him with all of your heart, the Bible said He'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on Thee. There's a perfect peace for those who trust the Lord. But my dear friend, listen. Not only will you not have peace, but look at verse number 17. For the iniquity of the covetousness was I wrought, and I smote him, and I hid me, and was wroth. And he went on forward in the way of his heart. Not only will you not have peace, but you'll experience the wrath of God. For the saint of God, you'll not have peace, but you'll also experience his chastening hand. You say, Brother Billy, what's God got in store for me if I don't honor him, if I don't worship him? What? I tell you what, there's a certain fearful, Bible said, of appearing before him. Listen, there's no peace, no peace if he's not Lord of your life. There's no peace if you don't trust him with all your heart. There's no peace if you don't repent of your sin. And notice the ultimate statement in verse number 20. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. There's no peace. You're wrestling around with this thing, wrestling around with this thing, I'm going to tell you something. People try to do everything in the world except yield to God. And God made you for his own pleasure. You say, well, I don't want to be a Baptist. You don't have to be a Baptist. Be saved. Be saved. Just get saved and live for Jesus. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a Baptist. But I'm going to tell you something. I know a lot of Baptists don't have any peace. Don't have any peace. But if you'll trust Jesus Christ, if you make him Lord of your life, if you'll repent of your sin, you'll have peace. But there's no middle ground. No better ground. Why, you say, Brother Billy, there ought to be some way. I ought to be able to go to some doctors. I was listening last night, watching a little commercial on TV. There's a certain drug people take who are having emotional problems. And it said this, in the first place, just before that, they ran a lawyer's ad wanting you to call them if you've been taking that drug so they could sue the company for you. And then right after that, they ran a commercial for that very same thing. And here's what they said. They said, now this may not be doing the job for you, but there's another one that you can add to it. And if you add this other one. Now, they said all that in about 10 seconds. And then for the next 45 seconds, they said, but you may experience bleeding from your nose. You may experience severe headaches. You may experience diarrhea. You may experience all kind of problems. You might even die. And all these things. But it's good for you. Call your doctor today. Boy, I just want to jump up. I want to dial the number right then. It might help you, but you might die. Can I tell you something? I'm not belittling the medical profession. And God knows that a lot of times there are chemical imbalances in our body such as that. Here's what I am saying is this. There's peace or no peace. And what makes the difference is whether or not you give your heart to the Lord, whether or not you've trusted him as your Savior, whether or not he's your King and you're worshiping him. That's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference. And listen, there's no peace. There's no peace. Oh, listen, he's long-suffering. In verses 18 and 19, he tells us this. I have seen his way. Look at it, verse 18. I've seen his way. I've seen his ways. I want you to know one thing. While you were not looking for him, he was watching you. And you did your own thing. You were going just as far. You said, God's not a million miles from where I'm at. But God saw everything you did. You say, what? Was he watching me so he could judge me in the judgment? No. He was watching you because he loved you. He has no death, no pleasure in the death of the ungodly. He's not willing that any should perish. He's watching over you. You're his creation. You're unique. Not another person in the world like you. God made you. God fashioned you. And while you were going your own way and you wouldn't love him, you wouldn't read the Bible, and you mock the things of God, and you mock the people of God, he was watching you. Watching you. My dear friend, listen, my testimony and a lot of other testimony for folk, many of our friends are dead. God was watching us. I mean, God was watching us. I ought to have been dead. Brother Ricky said this morning, if he got what he deserved, he could have been dead and in hell. But my dear friend, listen, God's watching us. You say, Brother Billy, God don't even know where I'm at. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. He knows where you are. He's been watching you. But I don't love him. I don't care for him. And I've gone just as hard as I can away from him. Nick, listen, you can't get away from him. He's omnipresent. Wherever you were going, he was there before you got there. He's watching over you. Watching you. And he said, not only will I watch them, but he said in this passage of scripture, I will heal him. I'll heal him. Listen, there's a healing. Salvation's a healing. Forgive you of all your sin. Make you whole again. My dear friend, not only will he forgive you and forgive you all your sin, not only will he heal you, but it says this. He said, I will lead him. He said, I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I'm going to tell you something. There's a place of peace. There's a place of joy. There's a place of rest. And I do love the mountains. And I do love the coast. And I do love North Carolina. And I do love Florida. And I do love Germany. And I do love the Philippines. But you can't get on a plane and go where peace is at. You say, well, I'm going to just sell everything I've got and I'm going to move somewhere. I'm going to find a place where there's peace. You can't move anywhere and find peace. Can't find it anywhere. Can't get on a plane, go where it's at. The only place you'll find peace and rest is when you find your place at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Oh, listen, inside of you there's a storm raging. But I remember another scene in the Bible. The storm was raging. They'd done all they could to save that ship. It was filling up with water. Now listen, some of you don't like the water. Some of you never been on a big ship. But these guys had every day of their life. They knew what they were doing. They knew how to keep that ship afloat. They knew what it had to do to make it go right and to weather the storm. But everything they'd done had failed. And when they went down and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They wasn't kidding. They wasn't saying, we got a little water in the boat. They knew they'd done all they could. And there was no hope but for the Prince of Peace. And he said, oh, thou little faith. And the Bible said he walked down on the deck of that ship. And he said, peace, be still. And that ocean came like glass. They marveled. Let me tell you something. Inside of you, there's a storm raging. But there's somebody who will step inside. And when he steps inside and he'll say, peace, I'm telling you right before him, every fear will bow, every trouble will bow, every horny memory will bow, everything that's worrying you now will bow. He speaks peace to your heart. You can have peace, peace, peace. God will give you peace, but not until the Prince of Peace steps into your soul. Not until he's in your life. He's the Prince of Peace, and you can have it. You can have it today. You can have the peace of God. You can have it when he comes in. Listen, notice what he says in this passage of Scripture, verse number 19. I create the fruit of his lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off. Oh, listen, he'll speak peace to you. He'll speak peace to you. He can speak peace and create peace in your heart and life. Will he change everything about your life circumstance? Not necessarily. But he'll speak peace in your heart. Will he automatically heal you of cancer? Not necessarily. But he'll speak peace in your heart. Will he deliver you from all of your enemies around? Oh, yeah, he'll take care of all of that. But my dear friend, you're going to still have battles till Jesus comes. But there's a peace in the time of storm. Peace. Listen. It's well with my soul. Black Creek sings that song. Boy, they sing it a cappella. I could have got them singing it a cappella. The man who wrote that song, I've heard the story told in so many different ways, read it so many different ways, but bottom line is this. The man who wrote that song, it is well with my soul. His wife and children had gone ahead of him because of the great Chicago fire going back to England, I believe. A freighter hit their ship. they lost the children. She arrived in England through a rescue ship, and she wired him back in Chicago a simple little message, and it said, "Alive, but alone." He got on a ship and started to England, where his dear wife was at. And when they crossed the area where the ship had gone down, the captain of the ship called him to the bridge and said, "Sir, right here's where the ship went down and where your children died." Standing there watching that turbulent sea, he wrote that song. Listen, when sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And my dear friend, listen, whatever's going on in your life, there can be peace. Peace or no peace? I mean, here's the answer. Peace or no peace, how do you get peace? You got to have the Prince of Peace in your life. He's got to be your Lord. He's got to be your King. And some of you who are Christians don't have any real peace today. You know why? Because you're living in rebellion to Him. Living in rebellion to Him. You need to lay down everything before Him. Get honest and get clean before Him. Confess and get right with God today. And God will give you a peace of God that passes all understanding. He said, "I will restore comforts to him." Boy, I'm going to tell you, you can have it. You can have it. But you've got to yield to him. Yield to him. And those who are lost, there's a way you can have peace. You don't have to chase him down. He's been watching you. He knows where you are. There's no accident in God's economy that you're here this morning. He wanted you here. He wanted you to hear the songs about heaven. Wanted you to hear the choir, the specials. Wanted you to hear the Word of God. Peace or no peace. Peace or no peace. There's no middle ground. And the only peace you'll ever find is when you find peace in the Lord Jesus Christ.